Shalom, everyone. Wow. What a crowd here today. Praise God. A little bit louder. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, I could imitate some of those calls I hear coming from Oklahoma, the Chiefs. You got to remember that, Oklahoma Chiefs. I was just handed something by the great David Yehuda. I told him I would that he'd be given this instead of me. This information, it was really enlightening that we stumbled onto it. Just a coincidence. The name Hawkins, Moore is coming to us all the time. You know, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Many of the priests seemed like that escaped persecution, went to Oklahoma, that land that was actually discovered later by the Queen's man and Columbus. But they left certain writings. You know, the ancients left certain writings, and I guess they were, as the colonies were split and divided and went off into separate sections, and especially when they went to fleeing for their lives, they, of course, carried the language with them, but languages change over the years, like English. If you get a older dictionary and look at the how they change it each year, and put the whatever's acceptable, most acceptable spelling of the word or pronunciation of the word, you'll see how it changes. Well, in their ancient writings, they talked about a white buffalo, of course, that much of it has already been brought on. So if you want the information, you can get it. But the white buffalo was a righteous person that would bring forth the laws of Yahweh. And of course, this is in engravings and things like that, and the put in places where they hoped they would be preserved, like caves and on rocks and things like this. These people were called chiefs, and of course, I don't know how they got that word, but they were called chiefs in the Holy Scriptures too. They were called chiefs, and of course, the prophecy shows that I would be taken from the chiefs, and of course, that was what some I hope to cover today. Because I want you to understand all the prophecies that concern this last day's work that Yahshua is high priest and king over. And, of course, a great work that's going to go clear through to the end, through this tribulation. And of course, then start resurrecting the dead and bringing the kingdom of Yahweh into action. But I'm going to let David go through all of this with you. But he gives the chiefs of the Jews and so forth that was taken. And, of course, he said, Yahweh said, the chiefs, the reason I'm bringing you this is a prophecy I'm going to cover today, hopefully, if I didn't shut my mouth and get to it. But the chiefs, he said, that I would be taken from, the witness, in these last days. Well, it so occurs that David found out that the name Hawkins is actually a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word, and it means zealous priest. Zealous priest. He'll bring you the details on that later. The Pope, of course, that I showed you last week, the work of Yahweh. It's running abreast with, of course, the false evil works of Satan, and they are disguised. They are so close to being, you know. I mean, they look so great physically. I mean, their looks. When people look at them, they are wearing white robes. If they were in the movie, they'd be riding white horses and wearing white hats and so forth. That's the way they depicted the heroes in the movies. Well, of course, this is what you see in the higher schools of learning, and this is what you see in the word called tower. The Tower of Babel, the Tower of Confusion, which wasn't really a tower, but at the same time they extend their buildings for looks' sake to give a lasting impression of something great, when it's actually the most evil thing on earth, and Yahweh intends to prove that before this tribulation is over. But in the Pope's speech now, he gives the statement. The Pope urges the end of conflicts in his Christmas message. Pope Benedict has expressed his hope for an end to conflicts around the world in his traditional Christmas Day message from the Vatican. Now, in this, he looks great. And, of course, the revelation shows he's riding a white horse, you know. I mean, he does this because Yeshua is also depicted the same, but Yeshua has righteousness. His scepter is righteousness, if you remember the prophecies that we covered there. One thing the Pope always seems to avoid is the word righteousness, because righteousness is of Yahweh. So he avoids that word, and he avoids the word sin, and of course, laws. Now, he uses the word evil and good, I notice, in his speeches. Well, he's asked for peace, and they call it Saint Peter's Basilical. He called on Israelis and Palestinians to coexist in peace. Well, of course, it's like the world today. They avoid peace, the laws of peace that Yahweh gives them. They avoid this like it is a plague. But I want to read you something else here, because this shows I want to read you this about leukemia. Leukemia, it's a cancer of the blood that is increasing rapidly. It's very dangerous. They say one of the most vicious kinds of cancer. Well, of course, it comes from bestiality. It comes from a retrovirus type 1, a T-cell leukemia that can cause adult T-cell leukemia in people. It is transmitted through sex contact. So it's an STD that's brought forth from animals mixed with human beings and so forth. Now, if you wanted to study what sodomy does to people and the evil, the abomination that it does to the human body, and how these diseases are created and then spread to animals, and then, of course, back from the animals to human beings. you can do so. There's gobs of it out there. We probably got a stack of 300 to 400 pages right now that you yourself can get off of the internet. But as you know, the Catholic Church is being exposed. The man of sin. They avoid the word sin, But this is the man of sin, the man of breaking Yahweh's laws. Their organization from day one was to do away with the laws of Yahweh. When they came out of Egypt, then they formed their colonies. And of course, they came against Samuel after a few hundred years, the descendants of the ones that came out of Egypt came against Samuel and said, "We don't want Yahweh to rule over us anymore." That's 1 Samuel 7 and 8. And it shows the Christian, in verse chapter 7, it shows the Christian holidays that were celebrated there. And of course, Yahweh had turned against the 12 tribes, so they were fighting against one another. Judah had been taken, everything had been taken away from them. And so they came to Samuel and said, and he says, "Well, repent and stop worshiping these gods, get them away from you, and I'll ask Yahweh to intervene for you," which he did, and Yahweh did intervene, he put the work back into the hands of Yada again, and Benjamin, who controlled this land, and of course controlled the temple area there. So he put it back into their hands. It wasn't like he took it away from a foreign nation and gave it to them. No, they were in the nation. They just took it away from the Judah, which Yahweh allotted to them by lot and by prophecy to do certain things. Well, the Pope now, he through Malachi Martin's book, you'll find this. The Catholic Church knows that there are the Aaronic priesthood. Now, I've brought it out to where one of their lifestyles is sodomy. And of course, they try to rape all the children, the boys, and make them sodomites. Like we're shown this now under Lot, when they had him captive, holding him captive, and Abraham went down and got him and brought him back. Now, we're shown what their acts was and how evil these people were. We're also shown the actions of these kings there. These were kings of Israel that teamed up and went out against other colonies of Israel and took what they wanted. Well, Satan, of course, was using them at this time. Well, in Jeremiah, if you remember, 23 verses 14 and 15, he said, you're all like Sodom and Gomorrah. Speaking of the priests now in Israel and in Judah, and who had taken over his own house, he said, at that time. So you see this being pushed. Well, now the exposure, Yahweh says in 2 Thessalonians, remember this, we'll get to it in Scripture because I want to lead you up to this in one Scripture at a time. But in 2 Thessalonians, it says there's a time coming before the coming of the Savior now, but it's connected with the time of the coming of the Savior when the man of sin will be revealed. That's what the work of Yahweh was created to do, reveal the man of sin and offer salvation. Offer salvation to mankind. That's what the work of Yahweh is for. That's the reason it was prophesied. And it said, "Let the heavens bring forth salvation," speaking of this work right now, because in the last days, it wasn't offered until the house of Yahweh became an institution taken from the chiefs, a boy trained for a job to be set up west of Abilene Israel, or Abel Israel, and he actually calls it Abel in the Scriptures, as the great David Yehuda's been bringing out so much of. Almost all the Scriptures, they take out that part, they take out Abel out of it, if you notice. Well, in the Christmas speech now, the Pope, here's the headlines: pedophilia is not that bad after all. Well, of course, he's the Catholic Church is being exposed. A lot of people are leaving the Catholic Church because they got caught, and they think the Pope is doing nothing about it. The rest of his statement here, I won't read all of it, but it said he goes back to the 70s. Now, I've harped a lot on the swinging 60s and how I saw sin increasing in my lifetime in abundance. Well, that's what one of the prophecies said when the Savior was talking about the house of Yahweh in the last days, revealing this. And he said, iniquity shall abound. That's a great leap forward, iniquity. Well, the Pope said in the 70s, pedophilia was theorized. You know, they practice theology. That's what they train in. That's a theory. It's just a theory, not the dogmatic rock foundation of what Yahweh inspired the prophets to write, but their own theory as how to sanctify themselves, as Isaiah 65 says. It's their own theory. So in the 70s, they started theorizing as something pedophilia. Let me read it. In 1970s, pedophilia was theorized as something fully in conformity with man and even with children, the Pope said. You're looking at me like you can't believe it. Believe it, man. Let me draw it up. I couldn't either. It's in black writing, dark black writing there for you. Read it for yourself. And the Pope blowing on a, looks like a child. This comes from British Broadcasting. No, this one, the other one was British Broadcasting. This one is from Belfast Telegraph, Scott.com, December 21st, 2010. Well, here's your stand now, and of course, what they're doing here, it's a psychological stand that has been taken, and I won't read any more of that right now because I want to get into what Yahweh is showing you, because we got up to that point here in prophecy, and then Yahshua was saying, and I harped on it a little last week in Matthew 24, if you want to go there with me. Now, the Savior, if you're in Matthew 24 now, the Savior said in verse 33 here, he said, you're going to see this. He's talking about our generation, of course. And he says, that generation, verse 34, will not pass away until all these things come to pass. Well, if you notice in verse 33, he says, you're going to see these things. So these are things that he named here that you'll actually be able to see with your own eyes and experience it. Well, that's why we're called the witnessing group in the Scriptures. We witness Yahweh's way, the peaceful solution character education program, and then we witness this other coming down that they theorize, and then they say, well, this is acceptable. So it's like an English word. Well, this one is more acceptable to everyone, so that's okay, we'll use it. That's also democracy. It's called democracy. Whatever the public will okay, the majority of the public will okay, we will follow that because we have the majority on our side. So we can get away with this. We can expose this. Now, when they went behind closed doors, the Pharisees. They called themselves Pharisees because they went behind closed doors to do their evil. And Yeshua showed this in his writings, in his speeches to the apostles. They became separated from the other people. But, so no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Well, of course, in 2 Thessalonians, Yeshua said it too, everything's going to be brought to light. Brought to light? How? By his house. That's what his house was created for. We bring light to those who will hear, read, and understand it and follow it even. And salvation, of course. Well, here in this now, get it in your mind. This is something you can see. If you go over to the first part of this, Yeshua went out leaving the temple, and his disciples came unto him. This is verse 1, showing him the temple building. And Yeshua said to them, "Do you see all these things? Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another which will not be thrown down." Well, of course, he was speaking of a prophecy. If you go back to Micaiah, this same book that tells about the house of Yahweh being established in the last days, the great prophet Micaiah, before he tells you that the house won't be here on this mountain anymore, neither will it be in the mountains of Samaria anymore. The Yahweh simply won't be worshipped there. He won't even have a work there. So here in chapter 3 now of Micaiah in verse 12, this is actually something that the Savior was speaking of here when he says, it's just going to be a heap of rubble. There's not going to be any stones left here at all on top of one another. Verse 12 said, therefore, he's speaking of how evil the prophets were of Israel and so forth here. And verse 1 said, now hear, O heads of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel. Verse 2, you who hate righteousness. You who hate righteousness. I told you the Pope avoids this word, righteousness, because he knows what the Scripture says about righteousness, so he avoids using this word. It's of Yahweh. I, Yahweh, he said, create righteousness. He created righteousness. And of course, he's giving it to all of those who want to be made in his image. Therefore, after he tells how evil these are and how they hate righteousness, he said, therefore, because of you, that actually says, for your sake, I'm going to take you out of here totally. But he said he'd remove you. That was the plans to move them to Rome for the last work. That was Yahweh's plan to do so. For your sake, so you can get the full lesson of what I want to teach you before this thing is over, he says, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become heaps of rubble, and the mountain of the house of Yahweh like the high places of a forest. Totally vacated, in other words. No, you can't raise anything there. But now, notice the very next chapter. He says, but in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain, that is the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nation. And it will be raised above all congregations, and all the peoples will eventually flow unto it. Now, when Yeshua said, you're going to see this, he was speaking about this message going out to all nations. So he was speaking of other prophecies here involving the house of Yahweh in the last days. Correct translation of Matthew 24:14. I told David a while ago he needed to bring this out again to just rehearse it. I'll just read the corrected translation that they want to take out, like they removed the word righteousness from the Holy Scriptures a lot. They did it in the King James Version a lot. And they put good. Well, good, of course, comes from the word God and means God worship or following following the way of the gods and learning this mixture of righteousness and evil, which pedophilia is a mixture of evil, mixing it in with some looks of certain things like the Yeshua described, of trying to make themselves appear righteous, but they are not righteous. They're doing away with Yahweh's righteousness. Well, the correct translation of Matthew 24, according to the Hebrew lexicons and dictionaries, the acceptable ones, that from which follow the writings, the original writings that we have, Zondervan put out in the interlinear, showing the Hebrew and the English. They follow those manuscripts, of which they are, there's got to be at least 1,000 or more different ones, but they show the wording in those original manuscripts and what they actually mean. And of course, we have some of those books of our own through the work of some doctors that came here, and we told them what they needed. They were in Washington, D.C., lived there at the time. They did legwork for us in finding these and bringing them to the house. And we have them in our library to use. Well, according to these books, the correct translation of Matthew 24:14, the Savior's word says this, "And this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall be preached in all the world from the house of Yahweh at Abel." Now that, of course, was taken out. They didn't want you to know this, like they removed the word righteousness. From the house of Yahweh at Abel, we have this. I think I'm going to put it in the, it'll go in the magazine, though, won't it? This whole thing will go in our magazine. By the witness Yisrael. Now those words are there in the Hebrew dictionaries. They're there. By the witness Yisrael. Praise Yahweh. For Yahweh will be with him. He will preach this message to all nations. Then the end will come. That is the complete sentence as the way it originally was before they took out a few words, sanctifying their own selves and building themselves a religion that is acceptable. Now, you can see that this Yahweh's way is not acceptable. Look at what all the Israelis did, the elders did, when Samuel was bringing forth the way of Yahweh. This is not acceptable. Let's get something that is acceptable to all people. Now, if you remember the words of Constantine, remember the words of Constantine when he drew all the wise men to him. Now, this was the 12 tribes of Israel who had separated, formed their own religions here and there, their own gods. I'm going to prove to you what those gods are. Those gods are dead rabbis, dead leaders of the tribes of Israel. They all believe this. For some reason or another, their minds, their foolish minds, were darkened. And instead of following Yahweh and knowing Yahweh is the powerful one, they actually believed that these exalted men who became murderers, kings, killers, ones who could conquer nations, they were leaders. They believed that these men would not die, but would go to heaven and establish a place in heaven where they could represent them, these people on earth. This is where this whole cockeyed, evil deception came from. But it came from Egypt. Yahweh shows it came out of Egypt. They still do the same thing. They build the pyramids. I don't know if they're still building pyramids, but they still worship the dead. Of course, I've showed you how what Egypt is and what it's part of the 12 tribes. But now, back to this now. Yahshua is saying, in the last days, in this generation, you're going to be able to see this. See what? Look, in the last days, I will establish my house. If you'll look on 2010 calendar, February 4, you'll see when the house of Yahweh was officially established in the chief of the nations. The chief of the nations didn't even exist when this was done. But America, the land existed, but the nation wasn't formed. The ends of the earth had not existed, had not come. The ends of the earth. I told you to remember those words. Today I'm going to show you, Yahweh willing. The Okie will show them. I think the cooks came up with that one. That came from the chiefs. Well, anyway, notice he says here that he said, in the last days, in the chief of the nations, it will be raised above the congregations, and all the people will eventually flow to it. Well, you know how we were raised above the congregations. We was done through hatred. And Yahweh allowed this to raise us up where everyone on the face of the earth would hear about a Okie who was preaching the laws of Yahweh, and they arrested him, put him in jail, and charged him and made a $10 million bond against him. And of course, this caught the news big time. This came out on all the radio, on all the TV stations, Al Jazeera Press, Russia Television, and everything in this country too. What in the world is going on there in Texas? Texas is also part of the ends of the earth. I'll show you what that means in a little while. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll leave you hanging. No. No, I won't. And many nations, notice now the nations, the word nations, don't forget that. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to this promotion of the house of Yahweh, to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. Well, you won't find it, his ways, taught in the Catholic Church. You find theory, and these theories are spread to all nations of the world at this time. They're the ones that's bringing forth the end by destruction. The son of perdition, as Daniel put it, the son of perdition, the prophesied destruction that is to come. And Yahweh says, your way is going to bring this, because this law is going to depart. Notice back in verse 12 of chapter 3, this is going to be destroyed. Zion is going to be plowed like a field. So the law, verse 2, chapter 4, the law will depart from Zion. Zion's going to be plowed like a field. The law won't be there anymore. It won't be taught there. Yahweh says, I'm going to take away their wise men, their men of honor, their captains of 50s, take them away. Well, where did he take them? To Rome. Constantine was one of them. And Constantine said, bring your wise men, all of you religions, bring them to me. He says, I want a God that is acceptable. Acceptable. Well, you see how it's tying in. Yes, pedophilia started in the 70s to be acceptable. That is, it was theorized by the Catholic priest, among the Catholic priests, who wanted to keep on raping these boys in the orphanages they had. So it was theorized, this is okay. Let's go ahead and do it. In fact, one God gives them the right.
Who was that God? Did anybody bother to look him up? See when he lived in Egypt? This has gone on from the beginning till now. Yes, the earth became corrupt before the days of Noah. It became corrupt after the days of Noah. And we'll see, if they hadn't have taken it out of the King James Version, you would know by reading the books of the prophets everything that I'm saying today. But they took it out. And as Jeremiah said, you're writing it wrong. You're not writing this the way it should be. But what do we think about that when he says things like that to us, when Yahweh speaks to it? We think nothing of it. We go on reading and forget it. Well, Yahweh says, I'm going to bring you some light in the last days. I'm going to establish my house and it will bring you some light. Because the law is going to depart from Judah and Jerusalem and be established in the chief of the nations. Now, verse 3, and he will judge between many people and rebuke nations. Here you see the word nations again. The word nations. Now, this is, we're in Micah 4. And of course, the big question is, let's go back to Isaiah 41, because the big question there is when? When? And for all of you scholars out there, true scholars, you really need to pay attention here because this work is in process at this time. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Now this, verse 2, this is Yahshua, Yahweh, who raised up the righteous one. I've already covered this many, many times, but he raised up the righteous one, the only righteous one, truly righteous person, man, the Son of Man, to ever live, as was Yahshua, without sin, from the east. Then he shows you which direction. Because the reason he shows you this is because this work to be established in the last days, Yahweh gives you a hint here and shows you where the east is that he's talking about. I saw Amalekim. This was another one that was stirred up from the east, coming from the east. Well, he's going west. He came from a certain territory and went west to establish the work on a hill just down the road here. Yes. Came here from that land over there. East. Over east. This way. To here. To a hill just down the road that's part of this same land that Yahweh gave us. And there he dedicated, help me dedicate the work of Yahweh here in the chief of the nations. Later, it was legally established in Abilene, named after Abel, the first righteous priest. Abilene, Texas is named after Abilene, Israel, who is named after Abel, the first righteous priest of Yahweh. Go from Abilene, Israel to Abilene, Texas, you go west. And that's the direction he came from the west. Call him to his feet, that is Yahshua now, gave him the nations. You remember the nations now. We just covered it again there. He calls it to your attention, the nations. This is a future work, and every scholar on the face of the earth knows this, that this is a future work that was to be done. And made him rule. Now, this is a man that's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, but he's talking about raising him up from the dead, and he's going to be ruling at this time. And he is. Through his house, the donkeys, and the branch. Remember, the branch that puts out the olive juice. The olive juice. Gave him the nations before him and made him rule over kings. This is all future now. Who gave them as the dust of the sword, that's the sword of his mouth, and so forth. Well, look on down now. The next one you see here is Yisrael. But you, Yisrael. Now, that word "are" is added there.
Sometimes I think we should never add a word, you know. We should just leave it like it is. And because so many times we add things thinking that's the way it should be. So we didn't add it, by the way. Somebody else added it in another version, so we put it in too. But you, Yisrael, my servant, is the way it should have read. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You, by the way, the priest that came, that sprung from Abraham, they were zealous, Yahweh said. And I'll show you that later. But these were zealous priests, and their name was Hawkins. That's what they called them. That's the Hebrew for zealous priest. And that's where this group right here came from that group of zealous priests. But you, Yisrael, now, you, Yisrael, you, Yisrael, let's establish who Yisrael is. Let's go over to chapter 44 here, chapter 44, because he is speaking of a brother of Jacob, a brother of Jacob. It wasn't Jacob that named me. Jacob was 10 years older. He was 10 years old when I was born. I had a one-year-old brother that just turned one. We're still trying to teach some one-year-olds to say Buffalo Bill Hawkins. We haven't got one to do it yet. But my family all vows to that miracle that came forth from my naming from my mother's womb. Well, here he talks about the womb again. Yahweh said he called my name from my mother's womb, which means it had to be a brother of mine that would name me. And it so occurred that he's a one-year-old, and I never understood what he was talking about or my family was talking about. But I told you when my brother was in Israel, and I told him I was going to change my name because I thought it was a hindrance. And the thoughts just kept entering my mind. I've got to get this name changed. Buffalo Bill don't sound right for the work I've got to do. And it haunted me day and night. And the name Yisrael, name yourself Yisrael, that just kept coming to my mind. And finally I did legally. And this is exactly what you see right here. My brother, in going to Yisrael, was going to get kicked off of the train in Germany. The person that booked the tickets, I was trying to think of her name. She lives in Abilene. Joe. Yeah, we referred to her as Joe. Yeah, sound like a man. Okay. She told me later when I found out that this occurred, I said, well, why did he go by boat? And she said, well, it was supposed to be a fun trip for the whole family. But she sent them by boat, and they had to go, they worked their way. And they went to, somehow or another, part of the trip by train from Germany to Israel was part of that trip. And the conductor that took up the tickets or checked the tickets on the train was threatening to kick my brother off, the whole family off, because he had an initial name. He didn't have the name Jacob. He didn't have words. It was just J.G. And that's all they gave him on his birth certificate. J.G. Hawkins. The conductor said, this is not a name. I can't accept this. And he came two or three times. And Jacob finally says, by the way, it was Luetta, his wife, that was talking to the conductor. And Jacob said, well, just tell him to call me Jacob. So that's what he put down in order to get the family through, because it turned out to be quite a fuss back and forth between the conductor, because they had traveled all this way by a legal travel agency. They had all their identification, but he wouldn't accept their identification. J.G. Hawkins. So he said, well, call me Jacob.
And that's what you see in this prophecy right here with the Hebrew words. I dare any scholar to check me out. You'll find what I'm saying is the absolute truth, and Yahweh is showing you what he calls the witnesses here that all the prophets spoke about, and the Savior and the apostles from the same womb. He said, "Yet hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb." All the commentators say this means these are brothers. They came forth from the same mother, they said. Who will help you? Help you what? Do a big work. The biggest that's ever been done by mankind in these last days, it's being done. We're reaching the entire world, all nations, brethren, this little group right here, and you're part of it, unless you choose to take yourself out. Do not be afraid, he says, which means pressure. Means pressure is going to be put on you. You see that? Don't be afraid. Well, facing what we have faced, what all of you have faced so far, and he's telling you, don't be afraid, it's all in my hands, I'm going to take care of it. That's what he's saying. That's what you should start believing, because there's some real bad stuff yet to come. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yisroel, that's beloved Yisroel, means little Yisroel, whom I have appointed from the womb, naming you from your mother. Putting this all down so you can see it later. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. He has that power. I will pour my spirit upon your seed. This is salvation, brethren, to everyone who will follow this work that Yahweh says will be created in the chief of the nations in the last days. He's going to pour his spirit out upon you. That's also shown in Isaiah 42:1. My spirit upon your seed and my blessings upon your offspring, your children. They will spring up among the grass as the willows by the water's courses. They will multiply, Yahweh says. They will multiply, the work will. One will say, now here he gets into details. One will say, I belong to Yahweh. I say that over and over. I belong to Yahweh. I don't belong to Satan or this world. And I mean that. I mean it 100%. And I don't ask for miracles. I've never asked for miracles. I've never asked for fortune or fame. I only ask for Yahweh's righteousness and to be called by his name. That's what I ask for. One will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand. He called himself. He never changed his name, but he says, just call me Jacob. If that'll get me in, call me Jacob. Now, later, when he became a citizen, got his citizenship in Israel. I meant to check on that and never, I don't think I ever did. Anyway, I think his name was put down as Jacob on that citizenship in Israel. The other shall subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself, but if you look on over to chapter 45 and verse 4, you'll see it was Yahweh that was inspiring that name change. It was I that named you. Although you didn't know it at the time, it was me that was pushing this. And surname himself with the name of Yisroel. Well, what is this? This is what Yahweh, the king of Israel, and Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, says, I am the first, I am the last, and except for me, there is no source of power. And of course, that's what we witness. If you'll look on over to chapter 45 and verse 8, you will see that this righteousness and the salvation comes from Yahweh. And there is no other power, no other power that can give you salvation. Now, verse 7, who as I will foretell this and set it apart for me, since I have appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them, the two brothers from the same womb, Yisrael and Jacob, let them foretell them. Now, keep that in mind, because this is what the Savior is saying. This is something you're going to see. He says, you're going to see these things just before the end. They will come forth with the end. So it's something you can see. You can certainly see right now the house of Yahweh blooming out to all the world, to all nations. And this is a somewhat of a miracle in itself that Yahweh said would be possible in this time period. If you go over to, now, hold your place here, we'll be coming back. But, we'll find it. Let's go to Revelation 11. And remember now, you are my witnesses. You're my witnesses. Now, with that, the world knows, and this is the only scripture they ever read about the witnesses, is Revelation 11. But Revelation 11 gives you very little of the work of the witnesses. Isaiah gives you most of the work of the witnesses, but others give it too, like Amos and Micaiah and so forth. And there was given unto me a reed like a measuring rod. And the Moloch stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, the altar and its confines. This was done without even knowing why we were doing it, you know. But it was done. And we spent gobs of time and effort and a big crew that worked on this, getting this done and the measurements of this temple done. And it sets here as a model. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out. We're the only ones that ever published this, and part of our job is to publish this information. And measure it not, for it is given unto the nations, and the holy city they will tread underfoot for this 42 moons. And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic office, and they will foretell events. Let them foretell them, Isaiah 44 says. These are the two olive trees. These are the lampstand of the two olive trees. Let's go back to Zechariah now. Zechariah, because he gives you a hint here and says, these are already prophesied somewhere else. Zechariah. Chapter 4, Zechariah 4, and verse 2, he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see and behold a lampstand of gold with its bowl for oil on the top of it, and the seven lamps on it, and there are seven pipes to the seven lamps. Then he says, there are two olive trees by it. Okay, Revelations now is saying concerning the two witnesses, these are the two olive trees. These are the two olive trees. If you look at verse 4, he says, what are these in verse 4? And then if you go on down to verse 11, he said, then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees? Upon the right side of the lampstand, that's what Revelation said, these are the two olive trees, the witnesses are the two olive trees spoken of somewhere else, and upon the left. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil? That's the word of Yahweh now, brethren. The word of Yahweh, the way of salvation, through them. It comes through them. And he answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my ruler." Then he said, "These are the two anointed ones." So the two witnesses are the two olive trees, but they're also the anointed ones. So we're going to find that in other prophecies here. Two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the earth. And then you go on down to verse 5, and he says, "Lift up your eyes," last part, "and understand that which is sent by commandment." Look on down to verse 9, and you'll see there's two referred to as two women or two houses of Yahweh. And then he says in verse 9, "Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the last two arrows of the house of Yahweh, sent with commandment, the Spirit of Yahweh came to overshadow them, and they were covered with the covering of saints, and they exalted, magnified, and extolled the ephah, the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws, separating the way of the world from the way of Yahweh." The way of the world, we just read it. It's acceptable. It's acceptable in the minds of the people. Whatever is acceptable, or what is consented to by adult people. So these are being pushed forward, mostly by Hollywood, but Hollywood gets its orders from the Catholic Church. Now, we saw this recently when the man who made the movie Passion of Christ, he called it, got his blessings from the Pope before he would ever send this movie out. Verse 10, "Then I said to him," to the Moloch, "who was speaking with me, 'Where are they, the two witnesses, going with the ephah?' And he said to me, 'To build the house of Yahweh, according to the standard of perfection, sent by Yahweh's laws,'" he's already said that in Revelations 2, remember, "'in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time.'" Yeshua said, we're going to see this. It's something you can see in that time period. "When the two witnesses are called out to do their work as the established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, a land that does not yet exist." Zechariah. Now, if you go back to Isaiah now, Isaiah 41, and remember these prophecies. Get them all in your mind. They should become a part of you. Isaiah 41, and look at verse 8. He says, "But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth." Ends of the earth. Now, we think of end, of course, as a measuring tape, and here's one end and there's the other end. But that's not what this is speaking of. It's this right here, the word ends here, represents something that's done last, or something that is established last. You see that? The ends, yes. The land's last, as established in Zechariah 5 and verse 11, not yet established. Well, February the 4th, his house was established. Now remember, Yeshua said that you would be able to see this. The earth, ends of the earth, Oklahoma was the last land, and they had a run for it. The Oklahoma Run. I don't know how many's read about that, but the Oklahoma Run was to let this last land of Oklahoma go out to a certain group of people whom I would say Yahweh chose. I'd say there was some inspiration because Yahweh was working at that time to establish, get a person ready to establish his house, and nothing was done that was done concerning me, my life, and Yahweh. And the house of Yahweh worked. And he shows that in Yochanan 1. But Oklahoma, they had this land run after all the rest of the places were established. And they had this Oklahoma area, territory here. So they had the Oklahoma run where they all got in their wagons with their horses and on horseback. There was some cheating done. So the Catholic Church must have been there and saying, this is acceptable. Go ahead of time. Go the day before and stake off your land, or a week before, a month before. Get us all staked off. Then all you got to do is run there and sit there with a shotgun and claim it. But this is the ends of the earth. Oklahoma was the ends of the earth and called you from the furthest parts of it and said the weakest parts of it was Purcell in Oklahoma. It's still weak. And that's what it means, the furthest parts of it, and said to you, you are my servant. You are my servant. And I said, yes, I belong to Yahweh. Well, he says, I have chosen you and have not cast you aside. Fear not. Here he says, fear, that uses this word again, tells you, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your father. I am your father, he said. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, which is Yahshua himself. Yahshua is the one that's doing this work. He's sitting at the right hand of Yahweh, but he's actually inspiring this work. Behold, all those who were incensed, hostile against you, which means there's going to be people that are hostile against me in this time period. That's what it means. Behold, all of those who are hostile. Well, here Yahweh is speaking of you now, if you fit this bill. Read it again. Behold, all those who are incensed, which means hostile against you, are going to be ashamed, he says, and be confounded. Now, this word worries me, the word confounded. If I fit this bill right now and I was in those shoes, I would be fasting and praying for this confusion, because that's what it means, this confusion to leave my mind. I don't see how anyone could help but see that this is speaking about us. We're the only house of Yahweh. In the last days, I will establish my house in the chief of the nations. You know, the United States has become the chief of the nations through an invention called the nuclear bomb that Yahshua said, you're going to see. In the very same chapter, he says, you're going to see it, that generation. You're going to see it along with this work that's going forth. They changed it up a little in verse 13, Matthew 24, 14. They changed it up a little to where, but otherwise it wouldn't have been the deception. But we're straightening out all the deception. But notice they will be ashamed and confounded. They will be as nothing. They who strive with you will perish. Now, you can't say you weren't warned. Now, remember Isaiah 41 and verse 2. Here is the, he raised up this righteous person. Now, look on over to, go back again to Matthew 24, because he's the Savior. This is where we started. He says, you're going to see all these things. These are things that you can see that's going to take place. If you look at verse 3, he says, verse 33 is where he says, verse 33, in the same way when you see all these things. So you're going to see it. And then verse 34 is speaking to a generation of people that's going to be able to see this thing take place. All of these things he's named here. Look at what he names. Verse 3, he shows the end. Verse 7, he shows the disease epidemics, nations against nations, earthquakes increasing. That's in verse 7. We certainly have that. Verse 9, he shows the hatred, the extreme hatred that also Isaiah shows. Reproaches for this work. The extreme hatred Yeshua shows. How would he know that this would take place? But then look at what else he shows you here. Verse 11, he shows you false prophets. The false prophets are all over the world, brethren, teaching the theory of man, mankind, exactly what the Pope teaches. They study theology in the universities. They don't study the scriptures. They study theology. They study the make-believes, the fairy tales of man. And they come up with rabbits laying eggs. This is the confusion that you see in the world today. And Yeshua said, you're going to see it. And how would he possibly know verse 12 would be taking place? Verse 12, iniquity is going to abound, and we see it abounding. And the Pope is actually admitting that from the 70s, these things, we theorize that it's acceptable. Even among the small children, it's acceptable. It's certainly not acceptable in the house of Yahweh among the small children. You don't have to see them. False prophets. Let's go back to Amosha. False prophets. That is unprophesied. Unprophesied. A false prophet is one that is unprophesied. He's not a worker of Yahweh unless he is prophesied to be. He says, Yahweh says here in Amosha 3 and verse 7, most assuredly, you better believe this, he says, most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work which he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets, in their written writing. And Yeshua, let's go back to Matthew 24 again. Yeshua says, you're going to see many false prophets in this time period. Many. And they're all going to be saying they have salvation for you. And this message, he says, is going to be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. And this is a time period when you're going to see iniquity increase, verse 12. It's going to be great. Iniquity. What are we seeing but iniquity throughout the whole earth at this time? Doing away with the laws. He won't mention the word law. He won't mention righteousness. 1 John 3:7-8 says, don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness. That's the reason the Pope doesn't want to mention the word righteousness. He's probably afraid somebody will look up the word and find it in a concordance and start reading about it. And then verse 21 and 22 says it's going to be great. Well, it becomes great with this nuclear war, which is a threat today, a real threat to mankind. And, of course, we have confused minds. As silly as chasing rabbits with Easter eggs, all kinds of nonsense like this in their minds, and they're the ones with their hands on the trigger to the nuclear bombs. Immediately, this is something else you're going to see, he says. You're actually going to see this in this generation, he says. When the message is being preached by the one appointed to all nations, which we're doing at this time, Everything is being seen. It's right here now what he said would be. And you're going to see the nuclear bomb. The nuclear bombs, and that which was invented in my lifetime. I kept saying this to you. The project was started. Project was started when I was in my lifetime. I was born in 1934, and the project was started in 1945. The Manhattan Project. Immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. So the last thing is the nuclear wars. The sun is darkened. The same time period when the message is going out, the message is going out in verse 14. This message of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. If you look on over now, let's go over to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. This right here is our job. And remember, you're going to see all these things. Well, this is something else you're going to see. The apostle says here in verse 1, "Now we plead with you, brethren, concerning the coming of the King, Yeshua Messiah, and are gathering together to him." If you read that just now in Matithya, I'll read it to you quickly here. He says in chapter 24 of Matithya, verse 29, he says, "Immediately, but after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven." Then. Now, you go back here to 2 Thessalonians. And he's saying, now concerning, now 2 Thessalonians 2, here we are. "Now I plead with you, brothers, concerning the coming of the King, Yeshua Messiah, and our gathering together unto him," speaking of the same time, "that you not be soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Yahweh is at hand." Well, now it is at hand. He was speaking in 52 A.D. Well, now that time is at hand, and look at what he's pointing out to you. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there comes the falling away first, and that servant of sin be revealed." The falling away started that he is talking about here with the temple being destroyed. Everything moved to Rome, where they set up a non-failure situation, to where they had control of all the nations, and they made their brag finally that the historians did, that Rome, the writer said, we belong to an empire that rules the whole world. Well, of course it does, and it's never crumbled. It's multiplied. It's teaching, the Babylonian confusion teaching has spread throughout the world. But he is talking about that time. He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless there comes the falling away first." If you remember, he said, "I know that after my departure, that grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock." Well, of course, this is when they started killing off all of Yeshua's followers. And Constantine was part of the murdering system that took place. But Constantine is the one that passed the law that fulfilled Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 7, where he says he will change the laws. Change the laws. Change the feast days and the laws of Yahweh. Well, that prediction came to pass. And then Constantine made it a death penalty. And of course, in order to survive, Yahweh, like he took certain people to Egypt, like Yeshua himself, he told his dad, "Take him to Egypt, keep him there till I notify you." So he took him down into the land of Egypt to keep him safe from Satan and to train him for a certain time period. Well, Yahweh did the same thing, and I can see this now in history, where the zealous priest of Yahweh actually went to this land that was not established, and there it was set up for the last day's work, that is, for a certain woman to bear a child, and Yahweh put certain things in the mind of those two brothers. We're the only ones in the family that did serve Yahweh, that actually turned to Yahweh. But we're the ones that did, Jacob and myself, J.G. and Buffalo Bill Hawkins. And then I was trained in certain ways, and then the desires came. The desires started taking over my life. And finally, it took over completely. Just everything. I would spend 24 hours a day right now in studies and teaching if I possibly could. That's the way it is. Okay, but now here he says there'll come the falling away first. Well, of course, they did fall away. You couldn't find Yahweh worshipers anywhere. In college, I found, I think it was in Smith's Bible Dictionary, is where we saw the name Yahweh. And of course, when that name, you know, when you see it for the first time, you know, it's like it sets off a light in your head. You know, it did in mine. And I kept repeating it. And I kept saying, well, why aren't we, you know, why is it we're not, why is it we're saying God and Lord and stuff like this? Why are we not using the name Yahweh? And the people didn't want to be asked that ran the colleges. I can guarantee you that. But anyway, Oklahoma then was a place where this woman, as shown in Revelations 12, nourishes someone, getting them ready for a work. Now, the way I was nourished was every evening by lamplight. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have electrical devices of any kind. No running water. But we had a lamp and a table in Mother's bedroom, which was also the living room, used as a living room for all the children. And we sat around this table, and the Bible would be read, King James Version. Well, I know now that Yahweh was putting certain things in my mind at that time, and that's what took over my life. Well, here now he says that you'll see the falling away, but Yahweh also has another plan that's shown here. And he says, unless there comes the falling away first, and that servant of sin is revealed. That's the Catholic Church that sits on seven hills of Rome, shown in Revelation 17, the son of destruction or perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as the Almighty, sits in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the Mighty One, the Mighty Elohim, or El. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. In his time. Well, of course, we're the ones that's revealing him, but certain events that this Catholic Church has done has also bringing to light now what they were practicing back in the days when they were elders in Israel, when they were kings or priests of the temple, called Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, what they were practicing at that time secretly, and then they moved to Rome by the hands of Titus, the great murderer who destroyed the temple. Titus moved all the artifacts to Rome, the seven hills of Rome, where it now rules the world. From the seven hills of Rome, we see this all in Scripture. But now the revealing, he says, Yahweh has restrained this so that it would be revealed in the set time period. So Yahweh has a set time period for revealing him. Notice verse 6. And now you know what is restraining him, that is Yahweh, now so that he may be revealed in his time, this mystery. Notice verse 7. The mystery of iniquity, that is the doing away with the laws of Yahweh. Well, now the man has exposed himself and admitted they're not living by the laws, they're not living by Scripture, they're living by theory. They theorize this pedophilia is okay, the raping of small children is okay, that it's normal. In another article showing his full speech, he calls it normal. Well, what is classified as normal is what they think is acceptable, which he said came into acceptability in the 70s. It started being accepted in the 70s, that is, by the Catholics, by the Catholic priest. It was theorized that it was acceptable at that time. Now, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity, the doing away with Yahweh's laws is already working, but the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he is made to appear in the mist. In the mist, talking about this last day's work of Yahweh and this great, great tribulation that we're now in. And then that lawless one will be revealed. Lawless. He never uses the word law. He never uses the word righteousness. He uses evil and good. And of course, they theorize what is evil and what is good. And whatever is acceptable, that is good to them. And then that lawless one will be revealed, which we are revealing throughout all nations now, whom Yahshua will remove with the breath of his mouth and make powerless with the appearance of his coming. So Yahshua himself is going to remove this man. But notice who's coming, verse 9, whose coming is according to the energy of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of sin in those who are perishing, who will not repent, who will not come to Yahweh's house for salvation. As Yahshua said, you won't come to me. He's talking about his work now, but he says you won't come to the one sent that you might have salvation. His work, as shown throughout the Holy Scriptures and all the prophecies, is the work in these last days of the branch and the donkeys. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters.